singing that beautiful song. Thank you, worship team, for leading us in a corporate time of praise and exaltation of Christ. God will hold us fast. You know, maybe you're sitting there this morning and you're wondering about that. I want to pray and ask God to bless that thought to us. But before I pray, there's a verse in Ephesians chapter 1. And it says, let me read it to you here this morning. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him." Let me pray. Father, thank you for your gracious choosing of us. Thank you for your gracious calling in our lives. Thank you for your gracious purposes to every person that's in this room, that Lord, you would even see fit that today, a day that you have made, Father, in your sovereign grace, you have organized and orchestrated that we be here in this building this day under the sound of your word, that Lord, we might hear your voice, that we might be blessed, that we might be lifted up. I pray for every child in this room, for every father, and for every mother. And God, I pray that you would bless every adult that sits before your word now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, children, are you all still here? Some of them are. Children, I want you to put your hand up if you think you're a good child to your mother. Put your hand up nice and high. Okay, maybe I should try another tack here. But put your hand up if in the last week you can think of a time that you didn't obey mummy gladly. Put your hand up. Oh, that's better. Good. Well, we'll become the disobedient to mother church. That's the one. We got more hands that way, right? You know, when I was a kid, I was a brat. I'm an adult, I'm still a brat sometimes, but I was a brat to my mom. You know, I was so bad that my poor mom, she just literally gave up on me. This is before I'm three. She's like, "Oh, blow him. I can't deal with this kid." I had a sister who was 1.5 years older than me, and she was the only person in the world I would listen to at three through five and beyond, but anyway. And it was just, I was terrible. You know, I was thinking about that this morning. I was thinking, you know, when you buy something and you bring it home, let's say it's a juicer, you know, one of those blender things, and you bring it home and you put it there on the bench top or the countertop, and you plug that baby in and you put the fruit in it and you turn the switch on, and you're being told that what this does is blend whatever you put in it. And so you put all this fruit and you hit the button and you pour it out and it's still all lumpy. You think, well, maybe I did something wrong. So you try a second time. And then you try a third time. And finally you get to the conclusion that this thing that you bought that promised so much is just not working. What do you do with it? You take it back. You go get another model. Mothers, when you bring that sweet little package home and you plug it in and you expect it to do certain things and it doesn't, what do? That was a dad speaking. Take it back. What do? You love it. You nurture it. You care for it. You put up with it. You get up in the middle of the night to it. Like, I mean, isn't there a switch here somewhere we can just turn off? No, it's just not like that. Now, I was that kid that should have been taken back. But I'm thankful for my mom, and I'm thankful for my mom's patience and endurance and love and care of me. I'm thankful that my mom got me up every morning and fed me. She had always had breakfast on the table, always. I'm thankful that when I was screaming and flailing and throwing myself on the floor in a temper tantrum, that she would step back and allow me to calm down, and then she would address that in my life with a thing about this long. Well, a yardstick's about that long, a meter's about that long, right? I think Mum broke more yardsticks over my backside than any of the other siblings, and I know she broke a broomstick or two. And it didn't make any difference. I was just still a brat. But she was faithful as a mom to me. Why? She should have taken me back. Well, because she loved me, and because she had the faith to believe that something good would come out of this package someday, somewhere. And I trust that I've done my mom proud. Well, welcome to the special service. It's a special service because it's Mother's Day. It's a special service because God, in His wisdom, created this person called Mother. She's not perfect. She has her own frustrations. She has her own struggles in life. She's just like you and me, but He's created her in such a way to minister in such a way that the outcome when a mother ministers to her children, when a mother serves her children as unto the Lord, that there is something that's good that comes out ultimately in that package called a child. Now, I know Mother's Day can be a difficult time for some of you. Maybe you want to be a mother, but you can't for reasons beyond understanding. Perhaps some of you have not had the best mother in the world, and or maybe you don't even know who your mother is, but you have one. Some of you mothers here this morning lost a child, lost maybe more than one child. And Mother's Day is a painful reminder of that, that loss, that death, that separation. Some of you mothers feel the pain, even as you sit here, of a wayward child, of a disobedient, rebellious son or daughter who's out there in the world this morning who wants nothing to do with God, who wants nothing to do with the gospel, who wants literally nothing even to do with you, except when their world falls apart. And some of you who are mothers here this morning are flying solo as you work hard, as you labor day and night to nurture your children and to bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. But whatever your situation this morning is, whatever the situation, whether good or bad, we know that the God of all grace has created this wonderful institution called motherhood. And He's done it for our good, and He's done it for His glory. It is only sin that distorts, that warps, that breaks down this institution, that causes it to be what it's not, that we all to some degree experience in this world. Well, today's a new day. Today's a day of God's grace. Today is a day where we get to learn what it is that God requires and desires of mothers. And this morning what I want to do is I want us to look at one woman in the Bible, and I want to look at the subject of a mother's faith. I want to talk about Jochebed. Put your hand up, children, if you know who Jochebed is. Grant, do you know who Jochebed is? Is that Grant? No, do you know whose mother he was? She was. Sat, you don't know. Okay. Okay. Those who are teenagers, put your hand up if you know who Jochebed is. Is it? Who did that? Who knows who Jochebed is now? Good. Good, good, good. Well, before we jump into Jochebed, let me share this with you. The Atlantic Journal wrote an article titled, "It's the Moms Who Get the Kids to Church." It was written in October 2016, and it writes this way, it reads this way. It said, "A new report from the Pew Research Center suggests mothers have more influence on their children's religious upbringings than fathers, especially in an interfaith household." That means where the parents have different beliefs. 1/3 of respondents to the survey of roughly 5,000 Americans said that their mom was more responsible for their religious experiences than their dads. So we're talking about a mother's faith this morning. And basic research tells us that a mother has greater influence than a father. Now you've no doubt heard the statement, she who rocks, or the hand that rocks the cradle, rules the world. You've heard that? This statement comes from a poem by William Ross Wallace that praises motherhood as the preeminent force to change the world. Mothers have great influence, and influence, believe it or not, is the number one characteristic of leadership. A genuine leader is someone who influences others to an end that they wouldn't otherwise have gone after or walked after. George Washington said, "I attribute all my success in life to the moral intellect and the physical education that I received from my mother." Abraham Lincoln said, "All that I am or ever hope to be, I owe to my angel mother." A mother's influence is huge, no matter how short or how long God allows that influence in your life. And when that mother is a mother of faith, then her influence is even greater in terms of its outworking. And this morning, I want to look at a mother's faith in the life of Jochebed, Moses' mother. And my aim in this sermon is to show that the faith of a mother is the most important, formative, and powerful way that you can influence your children. Let me restate that. My aim this morning is to show you mothers that the most powerful way and the most formative way you can influence your children is through your faith in God. And passing that faith on, not in word only, but in deed and in truth. It is also the most effective and significant way that you as a mother, as a woman, can glorify God. And so I wanted us to consider this woman, Jochebed, who demonstrates the incredible effects of a true faith in God. Now, faith. What is faith? Faith is not a feeling. So if you've heard me say that mothers influence their children through their feelings, you're not hearing me rightly. I'm not saying that. Yes, feelings do influence others. I get that. Emotions influence others. But that's not what I'm talking about, and that's definitely not what we see in the life of this woman, Jochebed. But faith, that when I talk about faith, I'm talking about saving faith. I'm talking about biblical faith. I'm talking about that which is a solemn belief in God's provision of a Savior who can set us free from our guilt and the offense of rebelling against God's law and offending His holy name. I'm talking about a faith that turns us from our self-righteousness and our rebellion and turns us to Jesus Christ to embrace the gift of righteousness that God is offering through Jesus to us. A gift that will change where you stand and how you stand before God. That's the kind of faith I'm talking about. I'm talking about a faith that believes God and that believes that God sent His Son into this world to die for us on a cruel cross, to bear the full weight, not only of the anger and wrath of man, but of the anger and wrath of God against our sin. A faith that understands that Jesus, while hanging on that cross, was dying not for His sin, but for your sin, for my sin. And a faith that leads us to repentance and brings us into a righteous and holy life. I want to consider Jochebed, who had this kind of faith. She was a worshiper of God, and she served the Creator rather than the creature. And I want to consider her life for your encouragement, moms, this morning. It's tough being a mom. And I want to encourage you this morning from this lady's life. By the way, not many people speak on her life because the Bible doesn't say a lot about her. So this should be relatively short this morning. 1 point. Jochebed, the mother of Moses. Where do we find this story? Well, let me set the context here. We find it in Exodus chapter 2. But the mother of Moses is found first in the book of Exodus. And in chapter 1 of this book, which, by the way, her son wrote, Pharaoh, ruler in Egypt, being anxious at the growth and the size of the nation of Israel, he was afraid that they were becoming too numerous and would overcome the Egyptians. He ordered that the Hebrew midwives should put to death every Hebrew son born of a Jewish woman. But the midwives feared God, the scripture tells us, and they wouldn't do this. And so Pharaoh ordered that all his people, the Egyptians, should get involved in this horrifically deadly destructive process, and that they should find every Hebrew son that's born and snatch him, rip him out of the arms of his mother and take him to the Nile River and throw him to the god of the Nile River, where the crocodiles would consume his body and his life would be ended. And if not by the crocodiles, he would be drowned. Now, Jochebed conceived and bore a son. And in Exodus chapter 2, and if you've got your Bibles, why don't we read this together? Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. It says, "Now a man from the house of Levi went and married a daughter of Levi. The woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was beautiful, she hid him for 3 months. And when she could hide him no longer, she got him a wicker basket and covered it over with tar and pitch. And then she put the child into it and set it among the reeds on the bank of the Nile. His sister, Miriam, stood at a distance to find out what would happen to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the Nile with her maidens walking alongside the Nile. And she saw the basket among the reeds. And she sent her maid and she brought it to her. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the boy was crying. And she had pity on him. And she said, 'This is one of the Hebrews' children.' And then his sister Miriam," that is, "said to Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew woman that she may nurse this child for you?' Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Go ahead.' And so the girl went and called the child's mother. And then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages.' And so the woman took the child and nursed him. And the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she named him Moses. And she said, 'Because I drew him out of the water.'" That's what Moses means. He was drawn out of the water. Well, later on in Exodus chapter 6 and verse 20, we read that Amram married his father's sister Jochebed, and she bore him Aaron and Moses, and the length of Amram's life was 137 years. And just so that you get over the whole marrying your aunt thing, it wasn't a law that you couldn't marry your own people in your own family until the law was given. And the law didn't come until well after this with through Moses as a mature man. It was quite normal. And God had not told the nation that they couldn't do this, and so we don't see anything weird here. I mean, it seems weird to us, but it's not for them. Now, as we consider Jochebed's faith, take a moment to consider your own faith, and particularly the mothers amongst us this morning. I want you to think about your own faith. What is it that people could point to in your life that would be evidence of a strong faith? What acts or what choices have you made that demonstrate that you have faith in God, that you are a mother of faith? Could your children write down this morning, if I was to hand out a piece of paper to write down how you as a mother have modeled or demonstrated faith, true saving faith in God? You see, I think that's all consuming, and I think that's all important this morning. I think it's the primary issue of motherhood. How are you as a mom reflecting your trust in the God who created the heavens and the earth and who sent his son to redeem you and deliver you from sin and its judgment? Well, Jochebed was an amazing woman. She showed great faith in God, and her faith produced even greater results. We learn from this text that she was an Israelite, one of God's chosen people, a member of the tribe of Levi, from which later on came the priests and the priesthood and the whole Aaronic priesthood as we understand it, and those who would carry out the duties in the tabernacle and, of course, later on, the temple itself and the temple services. She and her husband Amram were dedicated, God-fearing people set apart for the glory of God. And the faith of this mother is so great that she even makes it into the hall of faith found in Hebrews chapter 11 along with her husband, where we are told that her actions were all actions motivated by faith in God. And here's an even more interesting point about this woman. The name Jochebed is the first time that we have a taking of Jehovah and a forming of a name with the name Jehovah as the base in the scriptures. And so here's this woman, and her name literally means glory to Jehovah. That should tell you something about her parentage, her family. And this woman's faith was a faith that truly radiated the glory of God. Now consider just two things with me this morning about this faith. Firstly, I want to talk about the evidence of her faith. The evidence of her faith. Right there in the text, it says she saw this baby. She looked at this baby and she saw it was beautiful. And I believe the first evidence of Jochebed's faith is that she recognized Moses was a gift from God. Her faith sees this child as beautiful. And in Acts, we see that what this meant was far more than he was good looking or ruddy in appearance as David was. No, what she saw when she looked at this child was something truly from God, something that was beautiful in the sight of God, that this child had been entrusted to her by God. And we know the psalmist says that children are a gift of the Lord. They're a gift of the Lord. And Jochebed understood this. She understood that the fruit of her womb was not something that she could treat lightly. She understood that this child was from God and that she was to be a steward of this child. And her faith is what enabled her to see that. We know the unbeliever in the world today, the unbelieving woman of the world today, they don't see children as a gift from God. They see children as a problem, as an interruption to their lifestyle, their self-centered self-righteous lifestyles. But not this woman. Moms, do you see your children through these eyes, the eyes of faith? Do you see them as a gift from God? Do you see what God has in store for your children? Do you grasp the treasure that you have been entrusted with to mold and to shape into a godly offspring? The second evidence of Jochebed's faith was that she found courage through her faith to defy Pharaoh's decree to have her baby boy killed. She, along with her husband, cared more about God's will than Pharaoh's will. She feared God rather than men. She wasn't afraid of Pharaoh. Now, I'm not saying that she didn't understand the power of Pharaoh. I'm not saying that she didn't understand that this tyrant ruler could literally walk into her home and chop her head off at a moment's notice. I'm not saying that. She understood the enemy. She understood his authority and his power, but she had a greater authority and she had a greater power that she feared, and she would not take this gift and allow it to be killed. Her nurturing, caring, motherly instinct came to protect this beautiful God-given gift. And so by Moses, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden by faith. Whose faith? Jochebed's faith. And she hid this boy for 3 months while he grew, because they were not afraid of the king's edict. Hebrews 11:23 tells us that. And after 3 months, the child would have been very hard to keep hidden from the neighbors and the people around her, and people who could maybe start wondering, where is this woman? What's she doing? You know, maybe people told others that were in the Egyptian world around the, well, Jochebed is just not well. She's feeling unwell, you know. But after 3 months, people get a little inquisitive, don't they? I don't know the situation, but the scripture says at 3 months, it became impossible for her to hide this boy any longer. Maybe word had got to some of the Egyptians that she had had a child, and she was now in that position. What do I do? She had to do something. And again, we see this woman's faith. We see her faith. Mums, are you faced with challenges in raising your children that require a courageous faith like Jochebed's? Are you faced with the choice of not doing what every other family you know is doing with their kids? Are you willing as a Christian mom to take your kids and to raise them up and to teach them and to homeschool them, even in the light of being ridiculed by others who might say, oh, that's stupid, send them to school? Are you willing to have the courage to lay down your self-centered pursuits and pour your life into your children? Are you willing to stand in defiance of the edicts of this world, of the commands of how you should raise your children, and you raise them in the discipline and instruction of God rather than the edicts of the world? Are you willing to hold your child and keep them out of daycare and not give them to someone else to raise, and stand up and in the faith and in the courage that God gives to nurture and care and instruct and love that child? Jochebed was. Thirdly, her faith is evidenced by the fact she entrusted her son at this three-month period to God's tender care and watchful eye. She did this by placing him in a wicker basket that she covered with pitch, and she took that basket, and in her faith, she took him down to a patch in the Nile River, and she put him amongst the reeds where there was some protection from crocodiles. And where she knew that later that day, not too far away, there would be some people come down to bathe. And one of those happened to be Pharaoh's daughter. She had amazing faith. She had enough faith to say to Moses' sister Miriam, "Miriam, I want you to watch over your brother." She had enough faith to believe that if God could protect them for 3 months, if God could give her a child and then protect them for 3 months, that God could care for this child and provide a greater protection even against all the odds. And so she hands the son over to God. And she says, Lord, he's yours. Moms, have you done that with your children? Have you handed your children over to God? It's not your child. Do you understand that? These little bundles of joy and grief come from God. And we're entrusted with them. Yes, they are your children in that sense, and that sense only, that you're a steward of them. You don't own them. You didn't create them. They're God's children. And you're to be a steward of them. And to be a good steward, you have to come to that place where as a mom you say, God, this is your child. I entrust them. I entrust this child to you. And what's incredible is this woman did that as she let go of her desire to want to control and protect this child and direct his future. She let that go. God comes in and God supplies and God provides and God even pays her through Pharaoh's daughter to raise this child. It gets really good, doesn't it? You want to have an extra income? Trust God. Raise your child. Serious. There's another evidence. She nurtured, by faith, she nurtured and taught her son about God, knowing that in approximately 3 short years, she'd have to hand this child back to God, back to Pharaoh, and to Pharaoh's daughter, sorry. You see, Pharaoh's daughter had tasked her, Pharaoh's daughter had given her a task to raise this child to the point where he was weaned. Some commentators say this might have been even up to 5 years, but most would say it's around 3 years. 3 years. 1,000 days, approximately. Imagine if all you had, moms, was your children for 1,000 days. Would you lay out a plan? Would you calculate what you needed to do to produce in 1,000 days that which would be to the honor and glory of God? Jochebed did. She had faith. I mean, this woman's intentional. This woman's purposeful. This woman's living for the purpose for which God designed her, and she's living to fulfill that which God has entrusted to her, and that's to bring this child up in the ways of the Lord. You know, I sat down and I thought, well, how many years do you have with your children if all goes well? How many days, should I say, do you have? Work it out. Let's say your children, the influence of your children is from 0 to 12, because quite frankly, after that, you're really just coaching your children. If you haven't trained your children in the ways of God by 12, I'm just telling you, moms, and it's really too late. Dads, it's too late. So work that out. It's what, 4,000 days, something like that? It's not very much when you start talking about days. Did you know that 50% of your child's character and personality development takes place by age 3? 50% of your child's character and personality development takes place by the age of 3. And 75% by age 5. My goodness, you better get at it. You better get at it. And Jochebed was a faithful man. She devoted her time to those critical years. Moms, are you devoted to these critical years? It's hard being a mom. It's hard being a mom with all the demands of not just one child, but two child. And remember, Jochebed had 3 children. We're going to talk about them in a little bit here. She had Moses, she had Aaron, and she had Miriam. And more than that, like Jochebed, we live in an evil world. We live in a world that's bent on trying to demean your office, your role, your calling. It's trying to demean motherhood. It's trying to distort it. It's trying to say, you don't need to be a mom. You need to be following your career. You need to be doing your work and getting on in life, building that big house and striving for the American dream. You know, every dream I have, I wake up at the end of it and have to face what? Reality. It's hard being a mom. I understand that. But as a Christian mom, we need to learn not to fret over evildoers. We need to be like Jochebed, who put a confidence in God and saw God do amazing things through her children. The second point I want to look at briefly is the legacy of Jochebed's faith. What a legacy this woman left behind. She left behind three faith-filled children. Well, the Bible says very little about this godly woman's faith, this godly mother's faith and life. I want to tell you, it speaks mightily and it speaks powerfully through the lives of her three children, Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. Volumes have been written about these three. And all these children, Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, had their torches of faith set alight by the faith of this godly mother, Jochebed. Moses, by faith, was chosen by God to deliver the children of Israel. He who was delivered from death by God through a faithful mother ended up becoming the one who would deliver God's chosen people, Israel, from death and slavery under the hand of Pharaoh. And it was through Moses that God revealed his great commandments that would lead even us today in 2017 to a knowledge of our sin and the desperate need of God's grace. Aaron was the firstborn, and he became Israel's first high priest. Jochebed's fear of the Lord was no doubt what helped Aaron to understand and to have a high view of God, and it molded Aaron's faithfulness to establish the right means, the acceptable means of worship before a holy God. And it was through Aaron that the nation of Israel was directed and brought through a process of acceptable, God-honoring worship. Miriam became a prophetess and a gifted songwriter and musician, and she was the woman who exalted God and led the Israelite children in a victory song right after God crushed Pharaoh's army in the bottom of the Red Sea. She was the one who wrote, "The horse and the rider have been thrown into the sea. Come, let us exalt the Lord." Mothers, Jochebed left a legacy of faith, not fear. This legacy was not only seen in these three children, but it was seen in the generational impact that came out of these children's lives to the glory of God. From this one woman's faith came redemption, the redemption of Israel, and the national worship of God. And this led to generations of this nation seeing the glory of God. It led to this nation being established in the promised land. It led to this nation having great victories and mighty battles that they won and fought, and it established them forever in this world. One woman's faith. And it's only mothers of faith who can reverse the curse of our slavery to sin, as Jochebed's faith ultimately led to a reverse of the curse of the slavery of Israel and Egypt. And it's only a mother's faith who can open up the doorways of God's blessing to the third and the fourth generation of those who love and fear God. Mothers, Jochebed left a legacy of faith not fear, obedience, not compromise, holiness, not worldliness. Let me say that again. This woman left a legacy of faith, not fear, obedience, not compromise, holiness, not worldliness. And this is the legacy that moves beyond your family and impacts the world and delivers them from slavery to freedom, from darkness to light, from despair to hope, and from time to eternity. I read this statement this week. I can't remember who wrote it, who said it. But the statement was, where do all the great men in the Bible come from? You know, you open the pages of Scripture and bam, right there's a great man doing great things for God. Well, stop and think about that. That great man was once a child. He was once in the arms of a loving mother being nurtured and cared for. Great men didn't come out of nowhere. They didn't come out of a vacuum. They came and they arose out of the quiet and courageous faith of their parents, especially of their mothers. Yesterday, I had the joy of going downtown and Waterford Heritage Day and just spending the whole day witnessing with people. And when I say the whole day, I mean the whole day. I'm amazed I have a voice this morning. God was so gracious, and thank you to those men and those women who came down and took up the call to obey Matthew 28. What a blessing. You know, I've been down there, I don't know how many years we've been doing this, maybe 5 or 6 years. I've never experienced a day like yesterday. I just want you to know this. I had people coming to me and asking what this was all about. I had people who would walk up to me and literally, they would just stand beside me. And I'd say, morning, and I'd give them a tract, and they wouldn't go anywhere. I've never had that before. And so then I'd pull out, you know, a question or something, and then direct the conversation, and we'd be in the gospel, and we'd be sharing and stuff. And I could not believe, I'm telling you, I could not believe the number of amazing opportunities to share the entire gospel. I had it. I even right to when Daryl came down with the truck at the end to pack up. He pulls up, and right there's a boy. Everyone's, you know, the street's empty. There's not very many people there now. And this young guy walks down the street. And I went out and just handed him a tract, and he stopped, like so many of the others. I mean, in the past, people just walk by. They don't stop. They just take it and go. He stopped. And I was able to share the gospel with him. He never heard the gospel before. So I've never heard this message before. And I could tell that he was cut to the heart. And I was able to give him a Bible. I was able to give him some tracts. I was able to give him some more information to help him think through what it means to follow Christ. Gary and Leota came down and handed out some tracts. And Gary had the joy of praying and leading a young man to Christ. It was amazing. But you know what stood out to me? Minimum of four times, and my memory's not this good, but a minimum of four times, the people I spoke to said, my grandmother is a believer. And multiple more times, I heard, well, my mother is a believer. You know what I think I experienced yesterday by God's providence and kindness and grace? I experienced what I preached this morning from the life of Jochebed. I experienced yesterday a mother's faith. Not one mother's faith, but many mothers' faith. Moms, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you confessed your sin, turned from your sin, and put your faith and trust in what Jesus did at the cross for you, that he died to take the punishment for your sin so that God could be just and the justifier of those who put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ? Moms, have you turned away from that world of sin and followed Jesus Christ, taking up that cross daily? Because it takes a cross to be a mother. It really does. To be a mother that pleases God, to be a mother that impacts the world, to be a mother of influence, you have to be a mother of faith. And if you are a mother of faith, Can I encourage you this morning? Grow in that faith. Don't be sidetracked by the world. Don't be sidetracked by the flesh and all that you desire if it's not from God, but rather devote yourself to the calling of Jochebed. Will you do that? And if you do that, then the world around us here at Hickman and Waterford will be truly impacted for the glory of God, for the honor of His name, and for the salvation of souls and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Great spiritual men and women come from great and courageous faith. So, mothers of faith, in closing this morning, we first of all thank God for you. We thank God for the wonderful influential role that you play in the lives of your children. We acknowledge that this influence is most glorifying to God when it comes from a life filled with the grace of God. Secondly, we congratulate you today, and we unite to honor your role of influence. As Proverbs 31:28 says, her children arise and call her blessed. And we stand this morning and call you blessed. We're so thankful. We're so thankful, moms, for your hard work, for your labor of faith, as you pour out your lives, as you love these little bundles of joy and grief. Yes, joy and grief. Proverbs 31:30 says, a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. And so we praise God this morning, and we praise those mothers who fear the Lord, who worship and adore the Lord, and who pass on the legacy of faith to their children. I thank you, moms, from the bottom of my heart for all you do for your children. And we want to express our thanks this morning by way of some flowers. And so I want to ask the oldest child of every family to come up the front, please. Andrew, can you come and join me? And we'll hand out these flowers this morning.